At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Well, now it's time for our gardening expert, horticulturist Pádraig Horkan, he of the Horkan Garden Centre family. Pádraig, good morning.
A very good morning to you, Pat, from a beautiful sunny west of Ireland.
Now, we deferred your participation yesterday because of the passing of Des O'Malley, so you're with us today and we have lots of questions for you. A general thing, though, there's been a hosepipe ban for some people in parts of the country, and generally speaking, we're being asked to conserve water. So you have some very practical tips for using the minimum amount of water necessary to get your plants watered.
I do indeed. And funny, Pat, I was out last night for something to eat in a local restaurant, and I was watching the restaurateur pouring jugs of water onto the hanging basket, and he got more water on himself on the ground than he did into the actual basket. Mm-hmm. So my advice is, if you've got hanging baskets and containers, use the plunge method, which means getting a large bucket of water and literally submerging your hanging basket or window box or container down into the actual container of water. The compost will absorb water like a sponge does, and you'll water your plants within 3 or 4 minutes. So rather than pouring water into containers and window boxes and hanging baskets, simply take them down, do it in the cool of the evening, and plunge them into a larger container of water. Hence, they'll only take up the amount of water that they require. And you need to water hanging baskets with this intense heat about every second day, Pat. And when we water the compost, not the plant itself. So you really soak the compost, leave it for a couple of days, and then rewater again. Remember that we can use and recycle water. So any white water that we use in our homes, any water that we use for washing vegetables is perfectly safe. Even though it may have some detergent in it, it's perfectly safe for our outdoor plants. Any listeners that have maybe water butts, and a water butt is a great idea to have at the end of your greenhouse or your tunnel to collect any rainwater, because the rain will return within a couple of days. Again, for newly planted, established plants, Pat, like lawns, established hedges that are planted over a year, they do not require any watering at this time of year. It hasn't been dry enough just yet. So established plants are still perfectly fine. And albeit that your lawn might be going a little bit brown and bare, once we get a drop of rain, it'll perk back up again. So there's nothing to worry about. Mm. So focus your watering on your containers. Use the plunge system that I recommend. Remember to liquid feed your plants at the moment, because with this high intensity of sunlight, they're coming into flower, they're producing lots and needing lots of energy at the moment. So liquid feeding at least once a week when you're watering the plants. And deadheading. Make sure that as the flowers start to go over, cut back some of the flowers and cut back some of the stems, because that would encourage the plants to reshoot and reflower again.
Yeah, it's funny. Breda has just been on. Someone told me I should deadhead my roses. I'm just unsure as to how far down I should cut the roses.
Okay, so the function of any plant, Pat, is to reproduce itself. So all plants are trying to produce flowers to produce seed. And if we stop them from producing the seed, they will literally reflower again, regrow and reflower again. And roses are a classic example. They're absolutely superb and beautiful at the moment. But as the flower starts to go over, you need to prune the stem back by at least 6 to 8 inches of the actual stem. So we're removing the old flowers and at least 6 to 8 inches. What that does is it stops the seed production first and foremost, and the plant triggers itself into producing 2 new shoots from that one stem, and hence twice the amount of flowers. And if you deadhead your roses about once a week from now, they will stay in flower nearly up to Christmas. So it's a key thing to be doing with all plants. As the flowers are beginning to fade, just take off the old flowers and a little bit of the stem, liquid feed them, and you get them to continue to flower right through to the end of the summer.
something else you mentioned a moment or two ago, my poor grass is burnt and brown. I did have it looking so well and now it's terrible. Any advice on getting my grass green again from Derek in Galway?
Well, a couple of tips for old people, for Derek and for others, is first of all, not to be cutting the lawn. Leave it now to grow a little bit taller, right up to about 2 inches, because if we shave the lawn back, if we're continually trimming it as we were a couple of weeks back, you're just allowing the sunlight to bake the soil. You're putting the grass under stress as well. So leave it alone. There's no need to mow it at the moment. Leave it for about 10 days to 2 weeks. Once we get the rain patch, it's going to green up again. So a little bit of brown patching is no harm. Our grass species come from North America, in the plains of North America and the prairies, and they're well used to being baked in the sun. They die back, but they re-emerge again. And once we get into a little bit of wet weather in next week or in the, over the next couple of days, you can certainly put on a liquid feed or a granulated feed once the rain returns, and that'll green up the lawn again. So it's only a temporary setback, and people should not be using water to water lawns at this time of year, particularly at the moment.
Alison Trim has a problem. Can you please ask Porrick my question? Something is eating the leaves of my dahlias. The flowers are fantastic, huge and beautiful. It's my first time having them. I've sprayed bug stuff, but to no avail.
Okay, well, it's a classic description of a classic problem with dahlias at the moment. Now, dahlias are beautiful and they'll really relish this really warm weather. Regular deadheading, as we mentioned, but the little pest that Breda is mentions is a thing called capsid bug. And it's a little small green insect. It feeds on the leaves of plants. I often get a great kick out of seeing it feeding on weeds in particular. And it leaves typically small pinholes in the leaves, often little kind of small bits of dead sections in the leaf as well. If it's very bad and the dahlias are stunted, then use an insecticide with pyrethrum added. So the active ingredient should contain pyrethrum. You'll get it in your local garden centre. It's a very safe product, but very effective at controlling capsid bugs. So typically the leaves will show pinholes. The plant will look a little bit stunted. And the capsid bug is unusual, Pat, in that when you go close to the plant, the bug actually drops. He's like a small green beetle. So you won't, he's not visible like greenfly or caterpillars on the leaf. So you don't often see it, but the damage is very distinctive. So a small pest called capsid bug, get an insecticide with pyrethrum added to it, and that will control them.
Anne has a question. We got a new puppy. He does his poops outside in the garden, all among my flowers. Is that okay for the flowers?
Absolutely. My dog does the same thing here, Pat, in my garden. And look, I actually, if it's on the gravel pathways, whatever, I lift it and tuck it in under one of the flowers. It's perfectly fine. It will decompose and work its way back into the soil. So it's perfectly okay.
Marie has a question. How do I deal with foxgloves and other annuals? Should I just leave them? And if I do, will they flower again next year?
Yeah, well, foxgloves are biennial, so we normally get 2 years out of them. And here's a great example. If you allow foxgloves to produce their flowers and in particular their seed, well, then they finish. They give up the ghost because they've finished their function. But if you stop foxgloves from producing seed, you'll often get a second or third year out of them. So this is a really important question. Foxgloves are gone out or going out of flower at the moment. So remove all the old flowering shoots and the old seed heads, give them a liquid feed, and you'll often encourage them to come into flower next year because they haven't finished their function, Pat, and they try to reproduce next year again. It's also a great time of year for sowing the seed of many of our perennials and biennials like foxgloves. This is the time of year. Nature is doing it anyway. But if you get a couple of packets of seeds, if you've sowed the seeds of foxgloves now, they'll come into flower this or in May of next year.
And time for a final one from Glenn. Can you please ask Porrick how to maintain Buxus hedging? I have a lot of Buxus and they're all going very brown and seem to be dying in this heat.
Yeah, well, it's probably more so, Pat, a little disease called box blight, which is very common on boxwood, has been for the last couple of years. There is a treatment in your local garden centre called Top Buxus. If you ask in your local garden centre, they'll know what to give. It's a small blue tablet. You mix it in water. You apply it onto the foliage of the plants. Now, again, I would wait for the rain to return before Derek does this, and that will arrest the fungus that's attacking the plants. It'll also give them a feed. So pop into your local garden centre, ask them for the treatment for boxwood, and apply it next week in cooler, kind of wetter temperatures. It'll be far, far better.
Brilliant. Padraig Corcoran, thank you very much for joining us. And that.